The book of Jeremiah, so we have a handout on Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. All right, chapter 7. If you turn your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. So here we are talking about an Old Testament prophet about a nation that fell. All right. Now, throughout the whole book, of course, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, so he had a heart burden for his people here. And so his ministry, although there's a great deal of chronology here, history and so on, details, dates, enemies, things such as this, his whole ministry was about the heart. About the heart. And so we, as we go through this, we can read about details and so on, which is part of the Word of God, so we grow in Scripture and so on, but it's not a matter of just having an encyclopedia mind of the Bible, and we know all the who's and what's and where's and so on, if we don't deal with our own heart. So the book's about heart issues here. So in chapter 7, we have him dealing with the people and warning them about the judgment and so on. Basically, for instance, if you look there in verse 18, 7:18, we dealt with this last time, but here we have a family unit. The scripture says, the children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods. They may provoke me to anger. And so here they had a family unit. This was what we would call a nuclear family. Husband, wife, children working together. That's good. But their hearts weren't right, and so what they were doing was evil. All right, so the Jews had the family unit down. We don't have families in the Old Testament where the husband's gone, raised by a mother and so on, like we do in many societies today. They had nuclear families, which is good. So, interestingly, when Paul goes to the Gentiles, we see the converse. The Gentiles there, their families were chaotic. You think of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, here we have a man, and he's married to a woman, and he has a son, and both man and son are fornicating. The man's fornicating with his stepmother in the family unit, and this is an ongoing practice. This is a chaotic family. This is quite often the American family, where we've got all types of chaos going on and so on. So whether you have a nuclear family like the Jews did, or you have a chaotic family like the Gentiles had, the whole issue here has to do with the heart. Has to do with the heart. And so he's dealing with families here, and he's dealing with families who, whatever type of family they have, the issue is from family members to deal with heart, deal with their heart. And so we picked this 7:20. So in 7:20, Scripture says here, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. So here the Lord is long-suffering, as I bring out in the commentary here, and patient, but eventually mercy runs out. His judgment will be thorough upon, so he delineates what he's going to deal with here. Place, the man, the beast, the trees, the field, the fruit, as his fury is going to be poured out with fire, with everything burning and nothing quenched. So he warned elsewhere, Scripture warns elsewhere, be sure your sin will find you out. That's Numbers 30:23. And so here are these families. They were in all types of sin together. So father, mother, children were involved in Baal worship and so on. But eventually, Lord was going to deal with their sin. So we have, Moses actually says, be sure your sin will find you out. And so it doesn't matter what type of parameters you have around you and protections you have around you, it's you inside of whatever those protections might be and the heart issue there. And so when he deals with these families, these people and so on, notice with this family, as they're involved in absolute rejection of Jehovah and the worship of Baal, I mean, this is the extreme of the extreme, who were they hurting? So in the passage here, he says in verse 20, his fury is going to be poured out. It's going to be poured out. So when we ask the question, who do you hurt with your wicked thoughts, attitude, and behavior? So nuclear family here, who do you hurt? See, who gets hurt? Let's enumerate. Who gets hurt when people aren't right with the Lord? Number one, yourself. Number two, your family. Number three, your church. We bring this up upon 21st century. Your friends, but especially hurt the Lord. So, when we don't take care of our own heart, then we begin to hurt everybody around us, including ourselves. And so, it all starts with ourselves. So he's making it clear to them, to these nuclear families of the Jews who are rejecting Jehovah, even though they would talk about Jehovah and worship him, they worship Baal at the same time, they nevertheless were hurting themselves. So there's no blessing in disobedience as the Lord tightens chastisement on the child of God. So he was long-suffering with the nation of Israel, northern kingdom, long-suffering. And so the enemy came in, got tighter and tighter as they came around. And likewise with the southern kingdom. As the Babylonians came, they would destroy the other cities and land around them and things. They tightened the noose tighter and tighter and tighter. So the Jews here at the southern kingdom, all they could do is listen to false prophets and the lies and say, no, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. I feel the squeeze, but it'll come and go. It's not going to happen. No, it did happen. And so we can learn from this. In 721, the scripture says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices and eat the flesh. Eat flesh. This is what we call irony or sarcasm. Irony is saying the thing opposite of what really is the reality there. So using irony and sarcasm, the Lord told the people, go ahead and offer animal sacrifices. Just go ahead. Go ahead. And eat the meat. Just go ahead with your ritualism. Because he didn't care about their offerings, which were unacceptable and worthless before him. So go through the motions, you hypocrites, and see how it turns out. So he's telling them, go ahead and do that. Eat your sacrifices. Bring them in, because this is not going to salvage you, because the enemy's coming, and you're going to be destroyed, and so on. That's Proverbs 15:8. Proverbs 15:8. Scripture says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. And so as we, Lord's interested in prayer and obedience over ritual. And rest in them. Ritualism is so easy. Think of that. think how easy ritualism is. I go through the motions. I do this. I've got habits. I do this. And I just do this automatically. My mind's 1,000 miles away, but I can do this. I can do this. It's ritualism. And ritualism is easy. The hardest thing for us to do is deal with the heart. That's the hardest thing. So we can go through the motions. And yet we see the Lord's attitude there. And this is what the people were doing there. were going after both. So notice the hypocrisy here. If you look there in Zephaniah, Old Testament prophet here, one of the Z prophets. And so Zephaniah, remember, he's a contemporary of Jeremiah. So notice what Zephaniah says there in 1:5. Zephaniah 1:5. All right, so he says, "And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm." So in other words, they're sworn by the Lord, sworn by a false deity. And so they're playing it both ways. And and likewise here. Oh, we're going to offer to the Lord. We're going to offer sacrifice to the Lord. But we're also offering them to other deities as well, be their mindset there. And so here we see the hypocrisy of them. Then 7:22-23, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor command them in that day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and ye shall walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. Let me be well with you, well unto you." So the prophet reminded the Jewish audience that spiritual moral obedience was more important than ritual. Jehovah wanted the founding generation of Israel, which left Egypt, it's in Exodus 12 and 15, to learn that animal sacrifices were the evidence of faith. So remember now, all the animal sacrifice all pointed to Christ. But this was for them to do this, realizing a coming Messiah. And so this is pointing to the Lord in our animal sacrifices, because he's just going to be the Lamb of God. And so we believe he's coming, and we go through this with faith, and as evidence of faith, but it's not a substitute for faith. So ritualism is never a substitute for faith. And so we have to check our hearts at this point. Obedience to the spiritual, moral Ten Commandments was expected along with the sacrificial rituals. So, as we saw earlier here, they said they're worshiping the Lord. They went through the animal sacrifices, but in the meantime, they were murdering and lying and committing adultery and all kinds of wickedness. And so, you can't say you love the Lord and you're involved in murder and lying and immorality and everything else. And so the ritualism is easy to practice. The heart issue is difficult to deal with. So I mentioned here American Christianity. And this could even cover independent Baptist churches. American Christianity is filled with great ritualism with no accompaniment of spiritual, moral obedience by faith. For instance, many Christians go through the motions of churchianity. Oh, look at that. I didn't originate the term, but churchianity. So we're church people. Oh, yeah, I belong to a church. I'm a church person. But are involved in, so I'm talking about American Christianity, and maybe in some independent Baptist church as well, involved in immorality, divorce and remarriage, alcohol. Oh, I only drink several times a year, special occasions and so on, but, you know, alcohol, tattoos. You think of the big name Christians right now that are of a younger generation. You think of them, the Christian musicians. They all have long hair, the men. They all are tattooed up and down their body. And their music is some of it has Christian words, but it's just seems so secular. It's American Christianity. Language. Oh, I can use all types of language here, but still it's sanctified. My heart's still right with the Lord, even though I use profanity. I'm okay with the Lord. We need to purge our vocabulary in some words. Hair and dress styles and anti-patriarchal leadership and so on. So all these women who are running, are CEOs running companies. This is their career and so on. I mean, it's big. It's big all over the place. And so this is so much of American Christianity, and it's a compromise. And the practice that the Lord wants is that we obey His words, and we are involved in by faith serving Him and so on. So here we have the practicality of what He's talking about here. So they're talking about the Lord and Malcolm, their deities, and they're involved in temple worship, animal sacrifice, while they're sacrificing to Baal. And so this is such a hypocritical situation, and the Lord sees through that. He sees our hearts. He sees through all of that. And the Lord said, Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's John 14:15. So the lack of obedience is a lack of love. Look at that. How many people say, I love Jesus and have no fruit of obedience? How do these things turn out? It's empty. It's empty. All right, so then 24 and 25, he says, but they hearkened not their heart, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, and daily rising up early and sending them. So here the history lesson of the beginning of the nation of Israel pictures the proclivity of all of the sons of Noah. Think of that. So Noah came from Adam, obviously, but all the sons of Noah, the Shemites, Japhethites, and the Hamites. So we all have an old nature. If we've been converted, we have a new nature along with the old nature, and every day it's a battle. But in our old nature, we have the tendency to walk in the counsels of the imagination of our evil hearts. Now think of that. That's penetrating very deep into the heart. So the counsels, what am I counseling my heart? Of imagination. So if my heart is not, and my heart knowledge of is not focused on truth, what is true and what I know is true and so on, that's going to be the imagination of our hearts. And so it gets back to the heart issue here. They walk in the counsels of the imagination of their evil hearts. So you think of that. We all have an old heart, old nature heart. It comes up with imaginations, and it counsels us. So that's what my evil heart is telling me in my counseling, what I should do, how I should act, my attitude. And so it's not just the unsaved Jews here. They're going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. It's everybody. That's us. That's us. Are we walking backward or forward spiritually? So there's no neutral. Now, in your car, you've got a forward gear and you have a backup gear, but you also have a neutral. But in Christian life, there's no neutral gear, going forward or backwards. So faith or ritualism, that's what he's dealing with. Your ritualism is empty, he's saying. And so the Lord has sent and sends his servants, prophets, and now in this dispensation, pastors rising early to challenge hearts. So how can you read through chapter 7 without challenging hearts? How can a pastor go through without challenging his own heart or challenging the congregation? Life is about a heart issue. That's what it's about. And so 26 through 27, yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Here's the Lord speaking. They hearken not to me. So how did the chosen people respond? Now think of the three sons of Noah. The Lord chose the Shemites. Now he could have chosen any of the three, but he chose the Shemites. They were privileged people, but in their privilege, how did they respond? How did the chosen people respond? Did they hearkened or hardened? They did worse. Their downward spiral. For instance, Bible Baptist Church members who've been disciplined out of Bible Baptist Church. So I think we've got 22 maybe that have been disciplined out. And so I don't search them out, but I hear things occasionally and so on. So when this happens, when they're disciplined out, they seem to go downward. Sometimes they're not in church at all. Sometimes they're not in the Bible. Sometimes they're not in a biblical church, so they go to some other church. No accountability in this church. Big church, no accountability. I can go in and out, come and go. Nobody ever checks on me. No accountability at all. You know, easy. It's easy Christianity, you know. And I can go in. I remember a church I was in. Somebody was talking about the latest tattoo they got. Oh, I want you to see my latest tattoo. Oh, this is great. And then, so some not in a biblical church, some not in good health, and some are not alive. So we want the best for everybody in our church, but once somebody's disciplined out, they're under the curse of God, as it were, or under the headship of Satan. And so do we hearken to the truth, or do we harden our hearts to the truth? So Jeremiah's preaching will go unheeded. The Lord will call sinners to him, but many will reject and receive dire consequences. So I've said this many times, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. You can choose the counsel in the imagination of your heart to follow. There's the counsel of the imagination of my evil heart. So I can choose that today, and I'm going to go that route today. Now tomorrow, I may not choose that. You don't know that, but but once you make the choice, then the consequences will come, but you can't control those. All right, then 28 and 29, we have, thou shalt say unto them, this is the nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive the correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouth. All right, so he indicates truth is gone. Disobedience to the word of God brings truth, brings a lack of truth and proclivity to receive lies. Truth is cut off. So when truth is cut off, they were believing a lie. They were believing the lies that their leaders were telling them, believing these lies. Israel was cut off. There's a different word. They shear their hair, not evincing remorse, but prophesying judgment. So sometimes the hair would be cut to indicate remorse. So he says here in verse 29, cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken thy generation of his wrath. And so, when their hair would be cut off, they'd all be buzzed, men and women, by the enemy. And so he's challenging them at this point. His chosen people had been rejected and forsaken. Now the Lord was merciful, but they, in 586, they were rejected for 70 years. 70 years. Finally, in 30 through 34, and the children of Judah had done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations, the house of which is called by my name, to pollute it. They built the high place of Tophet, in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it unto my heart. So Tophet, the word behind Tophet means something like a drum. And so they named it Tophet because they beat their drums as they burned their children in fires and drowned out the crying and wailing of their babies that were being burnt in the fire. And they were doing this at Hinnom. So in the city of Jerusalem, you've got the valley river down there at the bottom of the Mount Zion there. So that's called Hinnom. So we were down in that area there, saw that. But the valley of Hinnom, that's down the south part of Mount Zion there. But here's where they were involved in this worship and the killing of babies and so on to Malcolm, but the Valley of Slaughter. So since they were killing their babies, the Lord was going to bring them, take them down there to kill the adults when the Babylonians came. It's going to be a Valley of Slaughter. So I think I heard a statistic just the other day that was it last year or this year that there were more worldwide, there were more aborted babies in the world than the population of Canada. Think of that, 1 year. So that's what the world does, obviously, and that's the society that we live in. But what leads to that? See, what leads to that? All right, and then. We go on here, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away or make them afraid. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Because of a godless ritualism at which the Lord enumerated again, Baal worship in the Lord's name, in Tophet drums and burning in Hinnom, southern water ravine, Mount Zion, where the Jews will be slaughtered and the carcasses left for the fowls, with no empty mirth in the pagan worship, death and desolation will come. So think of this, no joy, no natural joy and so on, such as at a wedding, but it would be all brought to an end. So here we see the judgment on the people. But the judgment on the people had to do with their behavior, but their behavior came from the imaginations of their evil heart. And so if they didn't deal with their heart, who knows where that would take them. So all the way from Adam forward, the Lord's desire is for man in his heart to want to serve the Lord and demonstrate love for the Lord by being obedient. And so it's true in the Old Testament, true in the New Testament, true in Bible Baptist Church as well. So we need to focus on heart issue. And are we right with the Lord, wanting to live for him, keep our hearts right, keep our thoughts and behaviors biblical and so on, so that he'll bless us rather than recognizing, if I let the counsels of the imagination of my heart control me day after day after day, where will that lead? Where will that lead? And so we need to focus on heart. This is what the book of Jeremiah is about. We can take the book of Jeremiah and superimpose it on any generation in human history. We could take it to superimpose it upon Genesis, on any book in the Bible, on the first century. We just superimpose it. We can superimpose it on our generation. The whole thing has to do with the weeping prophet here has a burden for the people, knowing that they're going to reject, and in their rejection, they're going to be judged, and the Lord will deal with them. So we need to focus on that individually and collectively as well, and realize these are warnings that are given in Scripture. And so we know what happened to them, and we know the potential what would happen, and we know what has happened to others that we know about. For instance, been disciplined out of our church where they're on a downward trail, down, and so we don't want that to happen to us. Now, Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the book of Jeremiah, the teaching there. I pray that you'll help us to focus on this, our hearts and lives, and the truths that we have here. I pray that you bless each one. Bless in our prayer time now, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.